This is the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. It seems almost inevitable that Waylon Payne would end up making music. The son of country singer Sammy Smith, who had a hit in the early 70s with Help Me Make It Through the Night, and Jody Payne, who is Willie Nelson's longtime guitarist, Waylon comes from a rich music pedigree. But growing up with two musician parents also came with challenges. On his new album, Blue Eyes, The Harlot, The Queer, The Pusher, and Me, Waylon draws directly from his own experiences with his famed parents, his struggles with addiction, and his journey to sobriety. You'll hear him perform songs from that record today, but the first one we're going to hear is the album cut of the song Sins of the Father. It's a track that gives you almost an overview of Waylon's story. In it, he sings about his own dad, but it begins with a recording of the voice of his best friend's son, Lake, who helped inspire Waylon to deal with his addiction. Here it is, Waylon Payne, Sins of the Father.
Okay, ready. 14, 22, 89, go!
Mama's been crying in the kitchen. Daddy's done left in the truck. He's headed down to the ABC store to get a little George Jones up. Well, it's been this way ever since I met him. Ain't nothing about the man I really know, except that he was a guitar picker and he never really thought that I was. But oh, the sins of the father are never gonna hang around me no more. Oh, the sins of the father, it's time for me to lay them down and let them go. Oh, oh.
On World Cafe, Waylon Payne with Sins of the Father from his new album, The Harlot, The Queer, The Pusher, and Me. Waylon Payne joins me now. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, the vocals in that song that we just heard, Sins of the Father, you recorded them in Nashville, and lots of the vocals on this album were also recorded in Nashville, standing in the same spot as your mother, country singer Sammy Smith, once did when she was pregnant with you. Could you tell us about that?
It was kind of a very surreal experience. I grew up in that studio. It was formerly called the old Monument Studio, and now it's called Southern Ground. Zach Brown's band runs it and operates it. And when Frank Liddell, my producer, and I were talking about recording this album, I really so casually mentioned, man, it sure would be good to would be neat to cut some songs in that studio. And then before I knew it, he had booked the studio for the whole run. So
it's like a full circle kind of thing.
You know, I'm very proud of my legacy in music. I'm very proud of my mother's legacy. And knowing I was in the place where it all started as an adult making a new record, you know, it was just beautiful. It was very spiritual, very cathartic.
Well, let's talk about that legacy a little bit. You were born not too long after your mother, Sammy Smith, won a Grammy for her song Help Me Make It Through the Night in 1972. So first, let's hear just a little bit of that song.
Take the ribbon from my hair, shake it loose and let it fall, playing soft against your skin like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through tonight.
That's some of Help Me Make It Through the Night, a song from your mom, Sammy Smith. Your father, Jody Payne, played guitar for Willie Nelson. People might assume that that meant you were completely and totally immersed in the music industry from the get-go. How true is that? How exposed were you to the music industry when you were really little?
Well, it's crazy because there was a lot of exposure, but then again, there wasn't. I was sent to live with my mom's brother and his wife when I was very young, months old, as a matter of fact, and she went back to work. But, you know, in the summertime, you know, or, you know, 3 years old, I'd live with her while she was in Nashville. It was a delicate mix. When I would go with my mom, it was usually in the summers, the most I remember, but summers were involved with being in Nashville and being around, you know, Willie and Chris and Waylon and all of her friends in Nashville that were just kind of like They just seemed like normal people to me and friends. But I knew that we all did something kind of special.
Yeah. I mean, your uncle, the house that you grew up in, it was a pretty strict Christian home. And that strikes me as an interesting contrast. You know, on one hand, you've got this family of touring musicians. And then on the other side, you're in this really by the rules household. Did that create a conflict for you?
It was weird and it was a pull, you know. There was a lot of Southern Baptist in our home, especially in the 70s. You know, people were a lot more outspoken, and Help Me Make It Through the Night, which was Mom's big hit, was panned a lot at a lot of stations because it was the first time really that a woman blatantly, you know, expressed her sexual needs or her desires.
Right.
And a lot of the Bible Belt had a problem with that. And it created, you know, maybe some embarrassment in the household at times with the churchgoers because, you know, they knew that my mama was the one that sang that song. And so it was always kind of a, you know, it was weird. It was weird. Yeah. There was respect there, but there was also some not good feelings.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to Waylon Payne on World Cafe today. It seems like you were sort of pulled in two directions, that you enrolled in a seminary to become a minister after high school, but then also in your 18 went on the road with your dad and Willie Nelson. So what was happening in that time?
Well, there were a lot of dynamics. I started diving into the church because it was one of the only outlets I could have to sing. I wanted to be a country singer from the time I was little, but that was not going to be in the household I grew up in because, you know, we had a prime example of what not to be, your mom and your dad. So you're not going to do that. But I found along the way that if I was singing for God, that was okay. So I immersed myself in church as a young boy, you know, I'm a teenager. I was going through some other struggles at that time that are kind of unspeakable. And I poured myself into religion. And at the same time, as I graduated high school and went off to college to go to seminary, I talked about some of the stuff that had been going on in high school. There was some abuse. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, revealed to the family that I was gay. So they disowned me. They just kind of, they were like, no, we're not gonna address that. You know, the old
right.
Oklahoma, Texas, let's just stick it somewhere else and not deal with it kind of thing. So I went off, you know, on my own, and I'd met my dad when I was about 16. He, you know, mama didn't want me hanging out with him too much because of the drugs and the lifestyle. She'd put me somewhere that she felt was safe for me to be away from all of that. But when the family threw me out, the one place that I could go was to my father. And so I met him at 18 and I met him at 16 and started hanging out 18, 19, 20. When I became a young man, he was really instrumental in me being around there. And we never talked about the abuse. We never talked about any of it. We just started playing rock and roll music, you know, and we partied a lot because we didn't talk about things. Daddy did a lot of drugs and he was a rock star, you know?
Yeah.
And so for a while I thought that was what you had to do, but we made our way.
What would a typical day be like for you when, you know, you were 18, 19 on the road with your dad?
Well, daddy was crazy. He taught me how to drink. He taught me how to do drugs. But we would, you know, play the show the night before and we'd wake up in some motel room somewhere about 10:30, 11 o'clock. We'd get up and get ourselves dressed and do us a bump. And then we were at a bar with a whiskey and a Budweiser by 11:30, you know, and we just partied the day through till it's time to go. And it was a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like it was some sort of tragic situation. I had a ball and I partied my butt off the whole time. But later on, it revealed itself that I had been doing what I had been taught all my life, which was sticking it down somewhere and not dealing with it.
Right.
And the more it started to rear its head, I would just apply more drugs to it. And before you knew it, I was just kind of a mess.
I'm talking to Waylon Payne. We are going to hear you perform a song next called Dangerous Criminal. You've talked about a come to Jesus moment that went into writing this song. What happened?
Well, my come to Jesus moment was the birth of my best friend's son, Lake. And, you know, I'd gone through my making my first record and making some movies, and my mother had passed, and that really sent me off of a cliff to where I just lost control. And I made my way to Texas in 2008 and met my buddy Edward. And Edward is just a stand-up guy. And I think in all of the therapy that I've had over the years, it kind of, he was a substitute surrogate father figure and a hero and a someone to look up to, someone that expected something of me again. And then I got to know the baby. And when I realized that my little buddy Lake knew who I was and liked me, I wanted to be the kind of character that he needed to have in his life. Dangerous Criminal is kind of a reckoning of, okay, you've realized that you've made it out. You need to go ahead and let people know that it's still just one step away, you know, if you don't keep your head about you.
Well, let's hear it. This is Dangerous Criminal, performed by Waylon Payne.
Sifting through the ashes of the maiden voyage, kinda left him feeling all alone. Everything, everyone had moved on. He tries to find his own way, but he ends up on the freeway, just driving through the night to ease his bones. He ain't gonna find it on this road. He's a dangerous criminal. Dangerous criminal. Dangerous. Yeah, hold on to the thought that you can't be bribed or bought. Let it throw it down deep into your soul. Can't remember truth from lies you told. Oh, still you keep on reaching, you keep hoping and believing. Somewhere there's a revelation on this journey that you're on. But hey boy, why are you always alone? Just a dangerous crime. Let it flow way down deep into your bitter soul. Tell me, boy, why are you always alone?
You just heard Waylon Payne, Dangerous Criminal, recorded live. It's World Cafe. That is a song from his new album, Blue Eyes, The Harlot, The Queer, The Pusher, and Me. And I'm joined by Waylon Payne today. Like you said, you've done some acting. For instance, you played Jerry Lee Lewis in the Johnny Cash biopic, Walk the Line. And I'm always curious about the interplay between acting and songwriting. Does one affect the other for you?
I don't believe so. Acting was something that I always wanted to belong to, but I didn't feel like I could. And when I'm doing that, when I'm on the set or I'm in a role, it is a unique time in my life because it gives me a chance to focus on something completely different than my music. But my songwriting, I will tell you this. I am from the Christofferson and the Bobby Gentry school of writing. They told magnificent stories. They told magnificent stories that you know in your heart of hearts are theirs. They went through that. And if they didn't, who cares? Because they told it so well that you believe it. That's what I look for. My mom was the same way.
Yeah, I mean, there always is that when you're listening to to your record, for instance, there's that question, like, how much of this is autobiographical?
It's all mine, you know what I mean? I think that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to communicate, and we get this shot, you know, we get this shot, this 30 minutes, this hour that people are listening to this. We have a shot, we have a moment, we have a chance. So it's a very big responsibility that I did not used to take with the brevity it needed. Now I do, because it's powerful. You live through something and you're able to tell stories, then maybe you realize your breath's important and you need to keep telling the stories that you know.
Yeah.
I do have lighthearted songs, but they just haven't come out yet.
That'll be the next record.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Waylon Payne on World Cafe today. You released this album in a series of acts. Four of them.
Yes, ma'am.
Why did you choose to present it almost like a play?
Kind of, you know, I think that this album, when we all made it, we knew it was something special, but at the same time, you have no idea how music's going to be received. And it's a touchy album. And there are a lot of different experiences on this album that I don't think many people have ever heard on an album before from a man. Once I got myself sober, I had to deal with things. You just could not. And so everything went in its place and got sorted out and put where it belongs, not way down somewhere deep, but out in the open on the shelves. And the songs just started coming because my head got clear. When we decided to release it, the way it fell out, it just kind of seemed like it was four acts. I feel that the record is so cinematic that it just felt proper to put them into the acts that they belonged in.
I mean, even the title, you know, Blue Eyes, The Harlot, The Queer, The Pusher, and Me, it sounds like a cast of characters.
It really is. There's a secret behind that one, the song Blue Eyes. My friend Tyler, he was my dealer back in the day, and I used drugs intravenously, and I could never administer to myself, and so he was my phlebotomist, if you will. And it should have been as close as having sex. It was one of those kind of things, but we, you know what I mean? We were just friends. He was dying of cancer, and he was one of those heroes that kind of came along in my life when I needed somebody. As dark as it sounds, he was supposed to be there to help me through that time in my life. That time was necessary, I think, for me to figure out who I was. I wouldn't suggest it to anyone, but we used to love. He loved Christofferson as much as I did, and we would talk for hours and hours, and he would read me poetry from these books of rebel poets and whatnot, and 9 times out of 10, anytime I would go over there, eventually he would pick up the guitar and sing The Silver Tongued Devil Tonight. And one day he challenged me, like, I wish you could come up with something as brilliant as that, and literally off my tongue just rolled Blue Eyes of the Harlot, The Queer, and The Pusher, and Me. And he said, wow. And he's like, promised me you'll name an album that someday. And I kind of made the promise. I didn't intend to keep it, but in the end, it was like a voice from heaven. Massey had said, what if you called it, you know, Blue Eyes, the Harlot, the Queer, the Pusher, and Me. And so it was kind of like its promise was delivered.
You were listening to World Cafe. I'm speaking to Waylon Payne. We are going to hear you perform Old Blue Eyes next, the song that's about your friend Tyler, who is also your drug dealer. And I also understand that it's one of the last songs you wrote before you got sober, while you were still using drugs.
Yeah.
Could you talk a bit about where you were when you wrote this? Like, what was your headspace like?
I had moved back to Texas and I'd met Edward. And it had taken me a couple of years to put it down. And there were a lot of people clamoring around me and trying to help me make that change. And I had been gone from Nashville for maybe 6-7 months. And I got the call that Tyler had OD'd and killed himself and died. And I went out onto this golf course that I lived on, and I cried under the stars for my friend. And I went back in and I sat down to write this song, and that's Blue Eyes.
This is Blue Eyes, Waylon Payne on World Cafe.
I wrote this song about my buddy Tyler. Rest in peace, buddy. I met old Blue Eyes on a fast moving train. The winter of 2006 and the year of our Lord. From the moment he saw me, he seemed to know all about this road we go down. Oh, and tonight, oh, Blue Eyes, you just may try to reach the moon, and so the Gulf of Mexico, we spent our days drunk and laughing. I would play guitar as the sun would go. Sing to me the silver tongue. The moon, oh, oh, and so
queer and the pusher. And me.
Waylon Payne with a live recording of his song Old Blue Eyes on World Cafe. That's on his latest album, Blue Eyes, The Harlot, The Queer, The Pusher, and Me. I'm Raina Duris. Waylon Payne is my guest today. You've been sober for 8 years now. So first,
almost
9 years.
Fine, yeah. Lake's almost about to turn 10. My sober date is a week after his birthday. His birthday's on March 30th, 1 week before mine. My birthday's April the 5th. I got sober on that date in 2012.
Congratulations, first
Thank
of
you.
All.
Thank you.
And so let's talk about Lake a bit, mm-hmm. because Lake was a very instrumental person in getting you to become sober, to stay sober. First of all, could you tell us where your life was at when Lake was born? What was going on for you?
I was fighting for my life. I mean, I was in a, you know what I mean? I was in a battle to put something down that I had picked up when he was born, hours after he came into this world, as he lay on my chest. I knew something was heavy, and I'm gay, you know. I don't think I'll get married and have kids. It's not something that's really, you know, you ever think about. I know there are modern technologies and stuff, but you know, but suddenly there was this young man in my life, and his dad helped me change great things about my life. And then as he began to grow, you just realized what a sweet, sweet soul he was. And we were family. That's just the way it was.
What did you realize or learn about your own relationship with your parents when you had the opportunity to be kind of a father figure yourself?
Well, I mean, like, my parents were just parents, you know? I don't like the old adage of, oh, they just did the best they could. That's not what I'm saying. But they did the best they could.
Yeah.
You know? I learned that it's never too late to make an impact on somebody, or to let yourself have an impact be made to. Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
You have to be open enough to accept love. And I was a hard dude. I was just mean and lonely and cold.
But, I mean, you've talked about being a sensitive man and the sort of the relationship of men with sensitivity.
Incredibly sensitive. I'm incredibly sensitive. But I was just all over the place, you know. When mom died and I had left the love world, I don't date. I haven't dated in like 16 years. And I just didn't have it around me. And suddenly it's around you again, but it's a different kind of love. And then you realize, wow, that's exactly what I need. And then you let yourself open up, and then you're like, holy smokes, look at this that's happened to me. I've become part of a family. It's my own family.
This is World Cafe. I'm speaking with Waylon Payne today. The last song we're going to hear you perform today is Santa Ana Winds.
Oh, I love this song so much.
I love this song too. I really love it. I think it's my favorite on the record.
So Lake had been born, right? And he and Edward and Ange were taking their, it was the first year of his life. And so I went out to California to try to kind of, and I was shaky still. I was still shaky and I hadn't totally given it up, but it was coming. And I went back to California, to Los Angeles, and I moved in with a buddy of mine, and I got a job working construction, and I was trying to find some movie roles or something, just trying to stir something up. And Lake's birthday, his first birthday, was fast approaching. And my buddy Dean Person, he's Canadian, and he played guitar, and we bonded over that. And one day I was missing him. It was about a week and a half out. It was going to be his birthday. And I was like, I'm just missing my kid. And so we wrote Santa Ana Winds. Dean wrote some pretty music, and the words just came out of my mouth. And not more than 24 hours later, I have this old gangster friend, right? He's always running a hustle named Art Miller. He's crazy. And he showed up on my doorstep one day. He's like, hey, I've got a new such and such going, and I'm in the business of making people's dreams come true. What do you want? And I said, I want a one-way ticket back to Austin so I can see Lake for his birthday. And I was feeding him cake, and he was feeding me cake on his first birthday, and it was great.
This is Santa Ana Winds. It's Waylon Payne live on World Cafe.
Oh, the Santa Ana winds
gonna carry me back to you. I've been a long time gone away, but the Santa Ana winds are gonna carry me back to you. Because I wanna see your face. Well, if the day comes that you leave me, I won't cry, I'm gonna smile. And when the day comes that you need me, baby, I'll walk every mile. And the Santa Ana winds gonna carry me back to you. I've been a long time gone away, but the Santa Ana winds, they're gonna carry me back to you. Because I wanna see your face. Carry me back to you. Oh, I've been a long time gone away, but the Santa Ana winds are gonna carry me back to you. Because I want to see your face, your face. Wanna see your face.
Santa Ana Winds performed live, a recording that Waylon Payne made for us. It's World Cafe. That song is from his latest album, Blue Eyes, The Harlot, The Queer, The Pusher, and Me. Waylon has been my guest today. Thank you so much for joining me. That was a lot of fun to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yes, ma'am.
Kind of like that he called me ma'am there. That was my conversation with Waylon Payne. I'm Raina Duris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.